Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
In Detroit, in the 1970s, three brothers formed a band called Death. Now, the name might indicate this was not your typical Motown sound. A new documentary chronicles the story of a proto-punk group that never really caught a break until now. Death bassist and vocalist Bobby Hackney is here with me in the studio today. Hi, Bobby.
Hey, how you doing?
And filmmaker Jeff Howlett, one of the men behind a band called Death, is with us on the phone. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing, John?
I'm doing well. Look, I am not a particularly big guy. I hope I'm not a stupid guy. But I watched much of your film, Jeff, with a big, stupid grin plastered on my face. What a great story, and what a crazy story this is, of a band that never really gets off the ground, tapes in an attic for decades, and tapes, Bobby, that were made by you, your brother David, and your brother Dennis, which looks like Dennis, although everyone pronounces it Dennis, it seems.
Yeah, it's D-A-N-N-I-S. That's Dennis, right.
Right. So you're three black guys in Detroit who are not playing Motown. You're playing something that's much closer to what would become punk rock.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we started out, I mean, we come from all that great legacy of Motown. I mean, you know, our mom and dad, you know, our first real, run with 45s was the Chess record label. You know, we remember like the old Etta James and Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf and, of course, Chuck Berry. Mm-hmm. All that stuff came into our house. But
now, your dad was a minister, right?
Yeah, he was a Baptist minister, but he was in tune to a lot of history. So he had us to sit down to watch events like the March on Washington. And, of course, when the Beatles came in that February of 1964, it was just such an electric time in America. And everybody was tuned into it. And my dad, we're on Sunday night, you know, watching Ed Sullivan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my dad says, I want you boys to sit down here because you're about to watch history being made.
Your dad said that.
My dad said that.
Your dad must have been the only dad in America who said that. Because most dads were like, what is this? Get these people. Look at them. They look like shaggy dogs.
Well, you know, he knew. I mean, that was the banter of everybody's life. I mean, on Sunday night, that was families got together and watched Ed Sullivan. So he really saw this as being a historic event, and he wanted us to sit down and watch it. Maybe he was just trying to get us to be good, you know? I don't know. But at any rate, he did tell us, and we sit down, and when we watched that, that planted the seeds for us wanting to be a band. And then, you know, of course, we went through the 60s, and, you know, growing up, we didn't really become full-fledged serious about being a band until about 1971. Mm-hmm. And we started a band, and we called ourselves Rockfire Funk Express, you know, because, you know, at the time, you know,
it was a safe name. You know which way you're going to go. Yeah,
exactly.
Rock,
funk, you know, everything that was kind of happening at the times.
You know. We're speaking with Bobby Hackney, bassist and vocalist of the Detroit band Death, and Jeff Howlett, one of the filmmakers behind the documentary, splendid documentary called A Band Called Death. So the three of you, you, Bobby, Dennis, and David, form this band. You're playing both sides with the rock and the funk, and then it's David.
Right.
Who comes up with the name for the band, which I want to get to in a moment. But you know, did you guys know what you were doing, or were you just kind of like figuring it out as you went along?
I think that's what we were doing. You know, what we loved was we had seen all these great bands, you know, like Ted Nugent, the Amboy Dukes, Grand Funk Railroad, and we really loved that sound. We just immersed ourselves in rock and roll. I mean, it was my brother Dennis who really saw the first Alice Cooper concert that he saw. Really, it was by mistake because they were actually on their way to a Motown party, which was happening in another part of the facility. But they had to go through Cobo Arena, which Alice Cooper's concert was in progress at the time.
Wow.
So they're in the very back trying to get out the back door.
Trying to get out.
But Dennis just becomes mesmerized with this, you know, I mean, he saw them on stage at Alice Cooper, the Billion Dollar Babies tour with this boa constrictor and everything. And Dennis just loved it. He loved the way the drummer played. And he came back home and he said, guys, we got to play this music.
And, well, that, you know, folks at this point have got to be wondering, what could this band have sounded like? Well, this is what Death sounded like back in the early 70s in Detroit.
1, 2, 3, now!
Just a little bit from the band Death, proto-punk from three brothers in Detroit in the early 1970s. Politicians in My Eyes is the song. The documentary is A Band Called Death. It's playing in limited theaters nationwide. It's available on iTunes and video on demand. We're speaking with Bobby Hackney, Sr., the bassist and vocalist in the band, Jeff Howlett, one of the filmmakers behind the documentary. And Jeff, much of the documentary centers on how the name of the band affects their career. At what point in the making of this film did you realize that you had more than just, you know, kind of an unusual rockumentary on your hands?
Pretty much right out of the gate. I mean, I had a conversation with Bobby Hackney Jr., just sort of give me the whole gist of the story, and he just told me all these things about his family that were just so rich and beautiful. When we sat down and started interviewing Bobby Sr. and Dennis about it, I mean, it just blew wide open. I mean, we knew we had something special just from the very beginning, and you know, just knowing the family for years and exploring sort of opening it up to the extended family and interviewing Earl, you know, and some of the other members of the family.
Earl is your oldest brother.
Yeah.
And the only one of the four who was not in the band.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and it just sort of opened the doors up. And then, you know, the more we talked to everyone, the more, you know, everyone was just mentioning David and you know, and how special David meant to everyone in the family. And then, you know, getting, you know, acknowledgement from the community of musicians as well. Like, wow, these guys really have their chops, not just in Vermont, but we're talking nationally, internationally, about the music. And, you know, when you put the needle down on, you know, the album for the whole world to see, I mean, I as a musician just think it's you know, in the top 10 of all-time records myself.
Let me ask you about the band name, Death. David came up with the name.
Yes, he did.
And in the documentary, you and Dennis are reluctant at first and then even more reluctant as things start happening. What was the rationale behind the name to begin with?
Well, you know, I mean, as I said, you know, David, when we had immersed ourselves in rock and roll, we didn't have a name. I mean, Rockfire Funk Express just didn't fit all this great new and exciting music we were playing. We wanted a rock and roll name. And so we milled around with a few names, but none of them seemed to roll off the tongue right. And, you know, I worked downtown and went to school and worked part-time downtown. Dennis worked downtown. And so when we come home, that would be our meeting time. And David says, summons up to the room. He says, come on, guys. He says, I got the name. I finally got the name. And we just ran up the stairs, you know, with bated breath. We were just waiting, you know, for this great name. And he looks at us with all the dramatic flair of any actor could ever muster up. And he says, I got the name. He says, what is it? He says, Death. And he looked at us like we were just supposed to love it right off.
Uh-huh.
And we were like, oh, man. I mean, we kind of saw the burden of that right away, you know. We're like, man, people are going to be scared of us, you know. Or we're not like this dark and gory band. We don't want to be. But what he explained to us, when he explained to us the concept that, you know, as my brother Dennis says, that what David meant was that it wasn't, death was not a good thing or a bad thing. It's just a thing. It's just a progression of life. It's just a progression of what we go through. So with that concept, and we saw that it was a much deeper meaning. I mean, he pulled us in, and we became impassioned about it just as much as he did.
Well, there are moments in the documentary, though, when labels start backing away and saying, yeah, at one point you're ready to sign a contract, but they want you to change the name.
Right.
And it's David who sticks to his guns and says, no way.
That's right.
You exactly and Dennis are you're quoted in the film as saying, I would have changed it like
that. Well, yeah. That, you know, my brother Dennis says that, you know. I was the youngest guy, you know. And the thing about it is, you know, back during those days, I mean, our dad had instilled in us to always back up each other. Mm-hmm. And also the fact of the matter is in the 60s, you know, it was always that hierarchy. You know, like the oldest brother was second in command. And, of course, and David was the oldest of the group, though he wasn't the oldest brother.
Earl was the oldest.
But, you know, I mean, David had to, and he was the guitar player. I mean, in the 60s, the guitar player rules.
But
thanks
you,
to Jimi Hendrix,
you were the main songwriter.
Yeah. Well, David would, he always depended on me to write the lyrics because, you know, I had been a poetry writer from third grade. For the most part, David was just, he always told me, he said, I want you to express, you know, what I'm saying at the very beginning.
So he was not just the older brother. He was sort of the heart of the
band. Oh, yeah,
he
was the mentor. He was the one who was, he was kind of our director.
Yeah.
He was our director.
The band is Death. The film is A Band Called Death. Bobby Hackney is the bassist and vocalist from that trio, and Jeff Howlett, along with Mark Covino, put together this really terrific documentary, A Band Called Death, playing in select theaters and available nationwide on video on demand and iTunes. Jeff, having gone through the whole process of making this film and telling this story, how much of the travails, the almost signed contracts, the almost record deals, how much of that do you put down to the name of the band?
I mean, it just weighs heavy, especially, you know, just the whole, thing behind, you know, it's documented in the Clive Davis when, you know, they're not going to change their name for anyone and just sticking their guns. I mean, it was just amazing, you know, to see that after all that time, you know, I myself as a musician and a lover of punk rock, you know, from the time I was 12, I've been playing in different punk rock bands, and just to hear this stuff, I felt the same way as Julian, you know. Bob, why don't you tell me about this?
Julian being another of Bobby's sons.
Yeah. And, you know.
So you never told your own kids about Death?
Well, you know what? They had always, I mean, we went through a lot of rejection.
Yeah.
We went through a lot of rejection with Death. Now,
do you think it was all name related? Was some of it because you're three black guys playing rock music?
It was all name related.
It was.
But you know, it's funny because people asked us, they said, well, did you go through any racial? I mean, it was really more or less in our own black community. I mean, that we went through that because it was like, look, we don't want to hear that. You guys should be playing Al Green, or you should be playing James Brown, or, you know, the Funkadelics, or something. Make us. And, you know, my brother even said that the girls, you know, in our community used to say, y'all better play something that could make us dance. You know, and they would say it just like that. So, you know, we went through a lot of that, you know. Like, they didn't want us to play rock and roll. They thought we should be playing something. And then we even had a couple of our friends who said, look, it's bad enough that you guys are three black guys playing rock, but your name is Death. you know, and so, you know, we went through a lot of rejection. And, you know, as a parent, you want your kids to see your successes.
Right.
You want them to gravitate to the things that you did right. And you know, I wanted to keep them in bliss because they knew us as reggae artists. We had had marginal success with our band Lamb's Bread. They grew up seeing this. So we're like, look, why kind of go through that pain? I wanted to keep them in bliss. And we, you know, by the mid or the early 80s, we did like everybody else. We gravitated to Walkmans and CD players. So we didn't, even though those tapes were sitting up there that we brought from Detroit, we never had a reel-to-reel tape that was available to us. Not that we couldn't get one, where we could sit around on a Sunday and go, hey, and kids, let's listen to some Death, you know?
Although, I think I would pay good money to hear a dad sit down and say to his kids, hey, let's listen to some Death.
Yeah.
Jeff, for me, the most striking moment in the film is when David, who dies in the year 2000, before he dies, brings those master tapes from Detroit to, is it Bobby,
yes,
your house in Vermont?
Yes.
Hands them over and says, what?
He says, you know, Bob, I know you'll keep these. And, you know, Bob is a collector, right? Collector of many things. And, you know, he keeps them safe in his attic for all this many years.
Because,
you know?
Because he says, someday
the whole world will come looking for these.
Yeah,
and I know you'll have it.
So he knew, despite all the rejection, he had some inkling that somehow the world would beat a path to Bobby Hackney's attic in Vermont.
Well, he didn't really know it was going to be the attic, but he knew that I would keep him somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, what's really kind of poignant and painful for me and Dennis is that this all happened within 2 months before David died. And he had even told Dennis, you know, he says, Dennis, you're not going to see me anymore. He says, when you guys make it with this music, I'm not going to be here. And David was always philosophical, and we thought that was another one of his philosophical moments. He was like, come on, man, don't say this. I mean, my brother was even at his wedding, you know. He said, come on, David, it's my wedding, you know. But David, he did know, and he knew that how sick he was, even though he was keeping it from the rest of the family.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
So what happens, Jeff? The bloggers, you know, get hold of one of those. The guys had printed up 500 copies of one of their singles on their own. They didn't get the record label. They didn't sign the deal. They released it on their own, and it sort of goes into obscurity. And somebody finds it. It's played at an underground DJ, you know, event. And these things start selling for like $800 on eBay, if you can find them. So it was kind of an internet phenomenon, this rediscovery, right?
Yeah, it really was. I mean, just, you know, the post on Chunklet sort of went around, you know, it got around. And then, you know, that's when Robert Cole Manis, who is a very avid record collector and was working with Drag City Records out of Chicago, says, hey, you know, they came to him, you know, he said, hey, this is a great 7-inch, you guys should check this out, because he was one that actually, he bought the 7-inch and brought it to them and said, listen to this. And they said, okay, this is great, you know, maybe we should maybe talk about maybe...
Was that Politicians in My Eyes, the single?
Politicians in My Eyes,
right,
and the Keep
One
On Knocking.
Yeah. Right.
And he said, you know, this is great, you guys should... You know, you should talk about putting this out. And they said, well, this is great, but maybe we should put out, you know, see if they have any more. And that's when a call came to Bobby from Robert saying, hey, do you have anything? And then, you know, the whole attic.
Where was the funny call that day?
They say there's no second acts in American Lives, but for Death, at least for you, Bobby, and your brother Dennis, there has been a second act, and now there's, after what, 35, almost 40 years, a new single.
35, yes.
Well, coming out later this month, called Relief.
Yes. You know, we basically, people have asked, you know, since the record came out, what's next? You know, well, we completed a whole album, and we're just happy about that. And six of those songs are from the Death Songwriting Archive from the 70s that me and David did. A lot of those songs we thought would never get to see the light of the studio. And Bobby Duncan, who is kind of that we feel he's handpicked by David, but he's filling in for David, and he was so inspired by this story and what he's been going through. He came to us with a song idea, and me and Dennis worked together with it on him, and the name of it is Relief. And it kind of personifies what we're going through, in that after all these years of playing rock and roll, what a relief it is to play this music again and to feel that way again. And so, you know, we, Draft House, in conjunction with the movie, gave them permission to put out a limited edition of the replica of the 45 that we put out in Detroit.
So it's a real 45. You need a turntable to play.
Yes, you need a turntable to play. And we were so inspired by that. That we decided to take two new songs off of this new album and to put those out as a 45 single on vinyl, which will be released later this month. And, you know, it's going to be...
still doing it the hard way,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, still doing it the hard way. And it's going to look just like the single that we released in Detroit. And we're really excited about it. And we did this as an honor to David because we know David would love this. I mean, he would. That's the kind of thing that he would do.
The story of this band is an amazing tale, and it is told in this new documentary called A Band Called Death. It is playing at select theaters nationwide. It's also available everywhere on video on demand and iTunes. Jeff Howlett, one of the filmmakers on the line with me, Bobby Hackney, the bassist and vocalist of Death Then and Death Now, here with me in the studio. And guys, I enjoyed the hell out of this movie, out of hearing your story. And I just, you know, you end up at the end of the film just rooting for you, Bobby, and for Dennis. And it's just great have you here with us on Soundcheck today. Thanks very much.
Thank you, John.
Jeff, thank you too.
Thank you very much.